This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is episode 346 for Tuesday, June 17th, 2014. We gather each Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock Central to talk about technology and ministry and where those two meet. And we're happy that you're able to join us. If you are available any Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock Central, go to wellstechlive.wells.net, and you'll see a place where you can jump on the video and ask a question or two. Anybody that's live is more than welcome to ask those questions, and we try and work them in. When I say we, I mean me and my trusted technology advisor, trainer, and Wells Tech partner. Hi, Sally.
Hey, Martin. Great to join you today, and I'm excited because we're going to talk about worship planning today, and I know that's a topic that's very near and dear to many pastors and church
leaders, yep.
Worship leaders' hearts. So, yeah, looking forward to the discussion. It's part of our Wells Tech Wiki revival. We're moving our Wells Tech Wiki, which is a collaborative website that we've had for 6.5 years of Wells Tech podcasting, and we're taking it and moving it to a new platform. And in the process, we're doing some spring cleaning, much-needed updating of much of the content on the site, and we're inviting our listeners to assist us in that effort as well.
Right. So it's a little bit, it's something we do every summer. We pick kind of a lighter concept that we carry out through the summer. Sometimes we do a good job at picking, and it is lighter and easier, and sometimes it's like this summer, where it's a lot of work, but I'm excited to actually get the thing migrated. It was getting a little moldy and a little unwieldy and kind of useless in certain areas. It just wasn't a good experience. So we're taking this opportunity to go throughout the summer and do some spruce ups and pick some topics that hopefully people will want to contribute to. Sally, maybe before we jump into the topic, we should tell them how they can actually get involved.
Wow, you're reading my mind, Martin, because I was just going to point out that over on the Wells Tech website, wellstech.wells.net, there's a wiki link. It's a nice orange link in the top row of social links, and that'll take you to the wiki site. The URL, if you want to go there directly, is wellstechwiki.gapps.wells.net. It has that gapps in there because we're actually using our Google Apps site to host it. And so if you want to get involved, there's a button on the top bar where you can request an account and basically fill out our short form, tell us your name, congregation name and city, and your email address. And typically you're going to want to use a Google address, a Gmail address, or a Google Apps address for that registration, because in order to work on Google sites, you need to have a Google account. That's the one caveat. So fill out the form. We'll get notified. We'll add you to the edit privileges on the site. And when you log in to edit, you're going to see an extra bar at the top of the page above what you see when you're not logged in. And that's going to have all the edit links and things. There's even a page here at the top that tells you how to do it and what to look for up on that top bar and what icons to use to add new pages and to edit existing pages. The one thing that we've reserved is the home page, and you won't be able to edit the home page. You won't have that bar along the top, but if you go to any other page on the site, that bar will pop up for you when you're logged in.
So, Sally, if they don't see a category that kind of fits what they want to post information about, they can't actually add that that piece of content under the right category, correct?
Well, we are trying hard to make everything fit in these six categories. We've got Bible, church, communication, equipment, office, and school. And we put some thought into this. I don't know. It may not fit everything, but hopefully it's going to fit in one of those six.
Yeah, you can let us know and we'll work on trying to get you up there and in the right spot. So
exactly.
Great. So that's really the key here. It's not that me and Sally are doing all this. We're trying to create a framework, obviously bring over the stuff that's done before, and we've sourced that from many different places and people. but we really want you to engage and participate in this because you have more experiences, certainly, than the collective you. Our audience has far more experience in most or all of these areas than you or I do, Sally.
That's correct. So last week we got started with Bible, and maybe just a little bit of a rundown on how we're attacking this migration. We've set up pages to parallel all the pages in the existing wiki. So if you go through all these different areas of the wiki, you're going to see page titles and organization structure that parallels what's in the current wiki. But most of those pages are empty right now. If you try to click on one of them, you're just going to see the title of the page and no content. Over time, we're going to be filling in the content on those pages with content from the other wiki site. And then we'll clean it up, as we said. We'll talk about it on the show, and then we'll invite you to start editing. It would be kind of hard if people started editing right away in areas where we haven't had the chance to migrate yet, though. So if you can just kind of follow along with us just for this summer and edit after we've done the migration and cleanup, that would be really great.
Good. So today's topic, a couple of topics really, but it's more really just about planning, either worship planning or technology planning in general. And this is an area where we've got a good start on some resources already.
That's right. In the planning area, we're going to look at three different pages that existed on the old site, one for the lectionary on Google Calendar, one with just church technology plans, so having a written plan for your technology efforts, and then one that can use some beefing up, where we allow you to share worship materials, so perhaps your worship folders or presentations you use in worship or whatever it may be. Diving right into that first page, then, the lectionary on Google Calendar. We could probably spend a whole show on this, Martin. We haven't talked about this resource in a long time.
Yep. Refresh my memory, there was a creator of this. We did not build this ourselves, did we?
That's correct. We actually get a feed of this from, I believe it's John Schrader down in Georgia, who started creating the lectionary in a calendar format, and we've maintained it at least 4 or 5 years now, and already next church year's calendar has been added to the calendar. So it goes through November of 2015 currently. So if you go to the calendar, you can look and see all the different Sundays and special services at Christmas, and those kind of things are on here as well. If you click into any of the events, then you're going to see the type of information that's available for each. So it tells you the lessons and psalm, as well as the supplemental lectionary, the prayer of the day, and it's actually printed there in the calendar, verse of the day, the hymn of the day, and the seasonal color for that part of the church year. This would be Pentecost, so we're doing the green thing for a long time now. So all of that is stored in each individual entry for each church service or date for a church service. And you can actually just click the little Google Calendar icon and immediately add it to your personal calendar so that it's a calendar that you follow and it feeds your personal calendar. But you can also add it to your own church calendar if you want by exporting the values and importing them into your church calendar so it's integrated with your church Google Calendar if you use that. So there's instructions.
Embed it right on the page if you want.
Correct. And especially this agenda view where you can kind of, it seems a little more meaningful than the month view where it's just the one event on church days or whatever. But whatever view you like, if you want to integrate it, there's all kinds of instructions and video tutorials and examples here on this page that walk you through the process of making use of that lectionary on Google Calendar.
Yep, great, great resource for mm-hmm. those of you that are following that the lectionary calendar. So very good. So that is one resource. If we continue down the list, we get to technology planning. And the technology planning page is really for any kind of technology planning that you would maybe do in a congregational setting. So here we've got just a few sample technology plans. There's a church technology philosophy and vision statement, a sample technology plan. We've had budgets in there before, those kinds of things. Any of the tools that you would find maybe useful, that you found useful in trying to figure out how to implement technology, what are the dependencies, what are the costs, what are the objectives, how do you measure whether it's the right fit. All those kinds of things are what we're looking for in this area. Now, we do just have resources there or attachments, but that page can be built out with whatever kind of content we want. Can be links to videos, can be just outlines, can be just general experiences. All kinds of things can go in this particular area.
And probably worth mentioning, I tell people how to edit the pages, but this file upload area is at the bottom of every page. And I'm going to just go ahead and sign in on the wiki with one of my Google accounts. And what you'll notice when you're signed in is that you have the option to add files. And like I said, every page on the site has this add files option. And so you can just choose from your local computer files, and they'll be shared here on the wiki. But you do have to sign in order to do that.
Right. And then the last section under planning is worship materials. And this has nothing other than the description that we've written. But we just felt that this would be a good place to house anything that you've used, items that you've used in the worship planning process. Really, the sky's the limit. It can be reviews of software, for instance, links to different applications, or websites that you've used, sample worship folders, formats for sermon notes, etc. Anything that could be considered a worship material, you know, used in the planning process.
Yep. Share with the class. That would be great. Others can benefit, I'm sure.
Yep.
Now we have a section called Worship Technology. This is kind of focused on using projection in the worship service, but it certainly could be expanded to include other types of worship technology. There's a page for worship projection software with links to all the typical presentation software. I've added some online presentation tools as well, like Prezi and Slides and Google Slides and that kind of thing. Then there's a section specifically for worship presentation software, and this is kind of a niche tool that allows you to run your worship service from the presentation software. And there are three that I'm aware of that are listed here: MediaShout, Proclaim, and ProPresenter. And for both MediaShout and Proclaim, we have some interviews in the past that I was able to link to give you more information about those tools. But if anyone has additional information, wants to give us insight into how you're using any of these tools in your congregation, whatever it may be, this would be the place to do that.
Yep, write a review, let people know what your experiences are. That's probably the most valuable thing that you can add to the site.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is called Worship Video. And Worship Video is really all about different things that you found, you've used, usually from video, audio sites. Can be motion backgrounds, images, just media in general. Maybe we should call it worship media rather than worship video. But things that you project on the screen. So this is really content. And it can be your own stuff. It can be other resources, other video resources or imagery. Just sources for the things that maybe would accompany a sermon that would maybe be useful in, you know, somewhere in the service, pre-service, post-service, during the offering, that kind of stuff. That would be backgrounds to PowerPoints, etc. So worship media is a category that I'm sure will grow, and there's a lot of resources I know out there, and we just have a small sampling of them.
Yeah, we've heard about more and more over the course of the podcast, Martin. It was really neat to kind of look back at different ones that we had suggested, and also not just kind of stock media sites, but also we dedicated an entire podcast to creating your own video. So there's lots of links and discussion on that podcast to resources for doing your own video. And then there are other kind of outside the norm video resources, and maybe we'll grow that list as well, like video presentations of Martin Luther's morning and evening prayers. They're really well done and would be certainly appropriate for a worship setting or for catechism class or whatever. So another one we talked about, wing clips, where you can actually search for scripture type applications to modern movie clips.
Right.
So lots of different ideas to include here. And, you know, I just did a quick edit and changed it from worship video to worship media. That was super quick and easy
to
do.
Just like that.
Just like that. And I think we could build it out a whole bunch more because there's a lot more image sites and things that we could list here. So good call on your part to change it that way. That's what we're looking for our listeners to do as well, to update it and make it even better.
So that's really what we've now, so now week two, we've we did the online worship stuff last week, we did Bible software, that kind of stuff last week. Now we jumped into some planning and some resources. Sally, we could probably jump to what we're going to do next week right away here, and that is communication. So we have the communication category here, and that's going to include things like copyright, presentations, so audience considerations, handouts, and then promotion, so e-newsletters, regular newsletters, communication planning, that kind of stuff. So all about communications next week.
Yep, and communications is a big category, so we're going to get
huge.
Started next week. It's going to take us a couple of weeks to work through all the content that's around communication.
Right. Just a reminder to our live viewers, if you want to ask a question, there's a Q&A button there. Go ahead and press that and enter your question. We'll try to address that during the show. We'd love to have your feedback, your real-time interactive feedback. Let's move on to our Tip of the Week segment. And I will do a quick screen share here. And my tip of the week is related to Twitter. I've got to find the right screen to share here. I've been using Twitter more and more for lots of different things. I get it for news. We've talked about it, Sally, before, for PLNs or personal learning networks. I've been a little reticent to add or to follow a lot of people. So I don't follow a ton of people. Actually, let me go to Twitter and see how many people I'm following right now. I only follow less than 200 people. And the reason that I've kind of kept that number down is obviously the more people you follow, the more noisy your feed gets. And to me, that felt like a constraint so that I would not be able to really get as much out of it if it was flying by so fast that you know, I dilute it. But what I've found, and I'm going to start following more accounts or tweeters for one reason. That's because I've kind of figured out how best to use lists. Lists are really a cool tool, and I don't know why Twitter kind of hides this in their online app or even in their, you know, their iPhone or iPad apps. See, I'm on the home page now, and for those of you listening at home, you can have to visualize what the Twitter homepage looks like. But basically, across the top, you've got Home, Notifications, Discover, and Me. There's nothing that says Lists here, you know, whatsoever. You actually have to hit the gear icon in the upper right to find your lists. And once you find your list, then you can click on them and go to them. So I've created a number of lists here with a number of categories. But what I've found is through the use of lists, I can kind of segment my Twitter experience. So if I want to if I'm interested in just kind of the tweets of my family members or close friends or coworkers, I can create a list just for them. And remember, lists can be public or private. It really doesn't matter. They both kind of work the same way, except that if they're private, then nobody else can subscribe to them, let's say. So it really doesn't matter, however you want to do it. But in general, I think I think I do most of them private, but it doesn't really matter. So I've got a family list here, and what you do once you've created these lists to make them easily accessible, rather than kind of going through the gear icon, hitting lists, and then scrolling down till you find the list you want, is grab the list you want, and then go ahead and make a shortcut to it. So I'm sitting here in Safari, and I would just drag the link into the list. So I've got now a list in my menu bar called Twitter Lists. So I've got a couple sitting up here. So if I wanted to see everything from the things that I've categorized from Microsoft, I'd hit the Microsoft list. So they act just kind of like URLs, and you can see that it's formatted that way too. Twitter.com/whatever your username is, in my case mspriggs/lists/ the name of the list. So it's really simple. And then you can jump right to the lists. So if I went back to my home page and I kind of scroll down and I find somebody that they said, hey, this is something I need to add to a particular category. So here's, let's see, let's find somebody that I can add here. Lifehacker is one of the accounts that I follow. So if I click on Lifehacker and I say, wait, I want to put them in a productivity list, I can click on them. And then, and this is where it gets a little bit kludgy because they don't feature these lists. I have to click the gear icon once I'm on their page. And then the second item down is add or remove from lists. And now I've already got them in productivity, but I could add them to technology news if I wanted, or you know, mobile or whatever it is, and then they would do it. Or if I just wanted to create a whole new list, if I don't have the appropriate category, there's a create a list button right there that I can create a whole new list just for that, just for that category. As I scroll down here, let me see one. If I can create one just for a list here. So Wisconsin Lutheran College I follow. So if I wanted to create a list just for schools, so I will add and remove a list. I'll create a list. I'll call it schools, and I'll make it private. I'll save the list, and now I have a schools list that I just added Wisconsin Lutheran College feed to. So I can add now MLC and LPS. Here's MLC. So I'll click on MLC, click the gear icon, add remove lists. I'll add that to schools, and I'm done. So just a quick and easy way to kind of segment it. Then when I need to kind of look at Twitter from a little bit more narrow view, I can do that easily just by adding it to my bookmarks or favorites, where I can just see that little segment of Twitter that I want to see. And I actually don't have to follow them to add them to a list, which is kind of neat. Now, in most cases, I do, but in some cases, you may not want to follow them, but you just want to add them to a list. So just a little tip. And it's sometimes good to follow a lot more than I follow, because normally when you increase your following, you increase your followers, because they may follow you back, so your audience grows as a result. So a little longer tip than I wanted it to be, but I think Twitter lists are really useful if you want to add a lot of people and get more out of Twitter.
And, you know, other people can follow your public list, Martin. So yep. You don't even have to have a Twitter account if you're doing a presentation or whatever it may be around a particular topic. You could share a list link in your presentation or with a group or whatever, and they can go and stealthily follow Twitter without even creating a Twitter account by just observing your list. So
that's where I get my news these days, because I have a list called News. So in that I have the New York Times, I have CNN, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, you know, all the things that, and they're all tweeting these articles. So it just kind of acts as a news aggregator and works really well that way. But if I had to weed through and find those pieces of news, you know, amongst all the other stuff from family or from people, other people or other companies, it would be tough to kind of quickly get the news. This is just an easy way to do that. So
the best way to get the news on Twitter is to look at the trending hashtags.
That you get, yeah, that's
kind of a mix. Source,
but I'm not always interested right. in news that everybody else is. So.
Right, but sometimes you do see some breaking things that get up there faster or whatever. So.
Yep, exactly. Anyway. We got a lot of World Cup news right now. So.
There you go. All right.
What's your tip, Sally?
My turn for a tip, and I'm going to stick with this social media genre. But this time I'm going to be talking about Instagram. Instagram is a very popular photo app. It's only available for mobile, and you can click and take photos in the app. You can add photos from outside the app, and then it has some filtering and fun things you can do to your photos, and then you follow people. Same concept as Twitter. You follow and you get a feed of all of their Instagram images that they've shared. And this must be Instagram week in the Wells, because just this week I learned of 3 new Wells Instagram accounts. So if you're an Instagram user, you'll want to follow these. The first one is actually from our Synod. The username is Wells Lutheran, and it's the official Wisconsin Lutheran Synod Instagram.
I see my picture in there.
Yeah, look who's working here, doing a live stream of the seminary graduation or call day. So you never know what you might see on the Wells Lutheran Instagram account. Here's a group of tech directors that were in the office having a meeting recently from all the different area schools, Synod schools. I have another Instagram account for you. This one's called Insta Kingdom Workers, and it's for the Kingdom Workers group. And they're just getting started. They've got a few pictures out there, and looks like they're going to be at the youth rally, so I'm guessing maybe they'll have some photos from the youth rally to add to their Instagram account. And then finally, I just saw this right before we started the show. MLC just today launched their own Instagram account. They have all of one picture there for you to look at so far. But you can follow MLC at Martin Luther College on Instagram. So
is that an official Instagram account, or is that a student who decided, oh, the college needs one?
You know, it's a little bit of both, because there's a certain student on campus this summer, Martin, who's working on a lot of photography projects, and he has worked with the PR director there, Bill Peckrell. And I'm speaking of Martin's nephew. Is it John Witte? Who's
Jonathan
doing a lot of
Witte,
Jonathan
right.
doing a lot of photography projects for this MLC this summer, and they just today launched the Instagram account. It is an official account. So
cool.
Thank you, Jonathan, for leading us into new social media waters.
Very good.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our picks of the week.
And my pick of the week is also image related. This is a website.
Oh boy.
Pinstamatic.com, which bills itself as a Pinterest tool. So everybody knows that it's really popular to share imagery on Pinterest. And this website will allow you to create some imagery from things like quotes. So you can put in a favorite Bible verse or whatever it may be and apply different themes to it. You can put in text and it'll create it. Let's see. Remind Martin. Whoops. You know, whatever it may be,
yes.
And it'll make it and turn it into an image that looks like a sticky note. You can add imagery from a track on Spotify. So if you have a favorite song you're listening to, it'll generate the imagery. You can add imagery from Twitter, from a particular Twitter account. You can add imagery that looks like a calendar for a certain day. So maybe you want to put an image on Pinterest for an important day, your confirmation day or your wedding day or whatever it may be that you're counting down to or whatever. Just a lot of variety, a very simple tool to use and a lot of different ways to use it. I actually added an image to the Wells Tech board with one of my favorite Bible verses. And I just used Pinstamatic to create this. And posted it from Pinstamatic. You can right away post it to your Pinterest account and select what board you want it to be on and that kind of thing. So not something you couldn't do with other tools. This one's just really geared to do it easily and pin it right away to Pinterest. So Pinstamatic. Maybe you want to do a Bible verse a day and, you know, build up a board on Pinterest with just Bible verses done in creative ways. Whatever it may be, here's a tool to do it with.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Super. That's what I was waiting for, just an easy way to start pinning.
Yeah, so you're going to just jump in and do that now.
Holding me back, right.
No, all right.
It looks like actually a very well done tool. So.
You heard it here, folks. We're going to be watching now.
Okay. All right, my pick of the week has nothing to do with Pinterest. I know that's a shock to many of you, but mine actually harkens back to our conversation with Professor Gavrish from MLC a number of weeks back about the healthier you and trying to manage your health through technology. And I ran across an app that I really like. It's specific to the iPhone, but I think there are equivalent apps on different platforms. This one is called Heart Rate, and let me...
Instant heart rate, maybe?
Instant heart rate. I think it'll come up if you just search for heart rate in the iTunes, or in the iTunes store. Instant heart rate by Zoomio. There's be careful, there's a paid for version which will cost you all of like $1.99, or the free version which works perfectly well. But basically it uses, and I don't know how this works, I don't play a doctor on TV either, and the app simply uses your camera to take your pulse. So you place your finger, you open the app, you place your finger on the camera lens, and about 20 seconds later, it's measured your heart rate or your pulse. And then it tracks it, of course, and you can do it resting, or you can do it after exercise, or even, I suppose, while exercising if you want. And then you can do some statistics around it. I know when we were talking on the show, when we were talking about health apps, your heart rate was actually one of those key indicators. Your resting heart rate, your heart rate under stress, and those were numbers even more important than kind of tracking your weight. You know, the healthier you are, the lower your resting heart rate is. So this is a great app to do that. And I can actually demonstrate this for you, those of you that are watching. So I will I'll open the app and hold it up to the camera here. So it's now asking me to put my finger on the camera. On the lens. So I'm doing that now. It says put it on there lightly. You don't have to really press hard. You can kind of see it going.
That's awesome. You're looking like you're 69-70. It's a great heart rate.
And it is now done. And then you can tell it what you were doing just when you took this. So there's nothing here that says conducting a podcast, but I'll just work and done. So 67, that's a little bit higher than it was when I was just sitting here vegging out in front of my Outlook. But then you can kind of see a graph over time what you've done. So it varies from 57 to 70, something like that. So nice little tool. If you do it every day, it integrates with different apps so that you can track that and kind of marry that with exercise patterns and those kinds of things. And just a cheap little tool that works really well, I think. So I haven't actually measured this to, you know, testing it myself, but I have no reason to think that those numbers are not accurate. So
that your iPhone camera would be inaccurate. Hmm.
No.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
On.
Good.
So Instant Heart Rate is the app from Azumio. Get it in the iTunes store.
And you don't know what the $1.99 version does different by any chance?
Well, there's an in-app purchase for the free one, $3.99, for a stand-up test, and that is some kind of approach that will actually gauge accelerating your heart rate. So you stand up, sit down, stand up, and sit down
okay.
For a period of time, and then it kind of gauges over time how in shape you are. So
I could jump to the conclusion of that one without even the test, I bet.
You can set heart rate zones.
And he talked about that, too, in the interview, didn't he?
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you can obviously share it on Twitter, Facebook, and
there you go.
So on and so forth. So
somebody out there would want to add you to a list if you put your heart rates on Twitter.
It says it works best on the iPhone 4, 4S, 5, or 5S. Because it has flash, because it actually uses that to illuminate, I think, the finger.
Wow.
But so iPad 3GS and iPod Touch not as good apparently. So
interesting.
So that is my tip or my pick of the week. Let's move on to community feedback, Sally.
And I have a few things to share. Starting with a link that Pastor Rob Gunther from Grace in Kenai, Alaska sent. It's for Osmo. An interesting concept. I watched the video. I don't know how well the video would stream, but go to the link and try watch the video. It's basically a way to use the camera on the iPad to interact. So the camera can see what you're doing with tactile blocks and things on a desktop and interface with you based on those movements that you're making. Pastor Gunther had said maybe for kindergarten age, the kids they show in the video playing with it are a little older than that, and they seem really excited. but it is a really cool concept that you can interact with the screen in that way, and it's picking it up through the camera. I'm not sure what kind of angle it needs to be at or anything like that. But
looks like you have to use it in the stand they provide and the little mirror that you have to put over the top.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very cool. And I don't know if there's a cost there because it says pre-order.
Yeah, $57 with the shipping. Right. It says it's shipping in late summer and that you can get it, I don't know, it says like $48 plus $9 shipping or something. Anyway, $57 is the total price if you want to try one maybe for your classroom.
Yeah, I would think that lower grades, younger kids would really get a kick out of this, and it would be useful. So they're not just interacting with the screen, but they're interacting with real objects, and then the screen is showing them how to put things together, and they have to follow directions. And
right.
Kind of cute.
In the video, they kind of do a tangogram puzzle, and then they get out some letter blocks, and they interact with letters and spell words and things. And it's
and they don't even have to line them
letters.
Up. They just throw them in front of the camera, and it knows what letter you're throwing it out there. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty neat. So good
Thanks,
stuff.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, over on Digo, we heard from Gail Potratz with a couple of links, one of them to a video about creating Google Sites templates. It's a less than 2-minute video, but it explains the concept of a Google Site template. In Google Sites, there's two different kinds of templates. You can make a template for a certain page so that you create every single page with certain characteristics. But you can also take your website and save it, the entire website, the pages that you've created, and the content that's there as a template. And Gail's basically saying that this would be really great if you wanted all of your students to have the same website for their portfolios, for building up all the work that they're doing over the school year. They start with a templated site. If you're a Google Apps for Education school, you can store those templates so that they're viewable only on your Google Apps domain. And there's a special place when you're adding a new site where you can look for templates only on your domain. And this short video kind of gets into all those nuances of Google Sites templates. So check it out. Gail also tagged an article. It's on Michael McNeil's website, and it's titled, How Does Samsung's Chromebook 2 13-inch Really Work? And just recently released, I think yesterday, and it's an excellent article, an excellent overview of the new Chromebook 2, and he has some really great things to say about it. Very positive feedback on Chromebooks in general and the fact that they're fast and they just keep getting faster. He says, you know, what other computers do you buy that get faster over time? But as they improve the Chrome operating system, these computers are just flying and doing really good work on them. So good comparative article about the different types of Chromebooks that are out there and some very positive things to say about it. So check it out. And then lastly, from Digo, we had a link shared from Jason Schmidt. This is from a blog called K-12 Blueprint, a planning resource for personalized learning. And the article is titled Bring Your Own Device Toolkit. Put together a lot of downloadable resources about a Bring Your Own Device program. So if your school is considering allowing students to bring in their own devices, they've got all kinds of planning and implementation documentation here that'll help you walk through that process. Teacher readiness checklist, case studies, sample acceptable use policies from several different schools, COPPA, all different kinds of content here. So if you're considering bring your own device, this looks like a great website to check out and make use of the resources they've shared.
We'll have to remember to add that when we get to the education section or the school section of our Wells Tech Wiki to add that resource in there. So
sounds like a good one to make use of for sure.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah.
If you'd like to contribute to the show, we would love it if you would decide to do that. WellsTech.wells.net is our show notes page. You can add a comment there. WellsTech@wells.net is the email address. You can use Digo like Gail and Jason did. Twitter, #WellsTech will get our attention. Facebook, Pinterest, Google+, all kinds of ways to share your stuff with us. And if you want to just submit it and remain anonymous, that's fine. We honor that in almost every case except for one. then we would be happy to publish and post that stuff on our show notes page for everybody to enjoy. I already talked about next week's Allie, so let's jump to our featured video. We have these playlists that we're building this summer as well.
That's right, Martin. The idea is that we will kind of have a curated list of videos on YouTube that might be appropriate for others to make use of as well. We get to enjoy them on the show, and then you can kind of reference our playlist as you're looking for content for various needs in your churches and schools. So the video that we have today is on our Wells Musicians playlist. It's from Branches Band, and it's a song called Hearts of Stone. This is a video I hadn't seen before, so I'm excited to debut it on Wells Tech and hope you guys enjoy it.
Very good. Thanks everybody for joining us. We will meet again, same time, same place. At least Sally and I will be in the same place next week, Tuesday, 4:00. Thanks everybody for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.